6737 or go online to WAVA.com, keyword kitchen.
It's time for the Don Crow Show, right here from the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios. Now, the Don Crow Show.
The Don Crow Show is brought to you in part by Passport Auto Group Stores. Whether you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, I highly recommend that you go to PassportAuto.com and find Passport's nearest dealership to where you live. And what a great selection to choose from. BMW, Infiniti, Nissan, Toyota, Mazda, Mini. And right now, Passport also has over 1,000 certified pre-owned vehicles you may want to consider as well. Again, find your nearest dealership at the website PassportAuto.com. And we welcome you to the Monday edition, day after Father's Day of the Don Crow Show. All you dads and granddads, great-granddads out there, I hope you had a wonderful weekend and another year straight ahead. Welcome to this edition of the Don Crow Show. Also delighted to welcome the listening audience of the Bill Bunkley Show on Faith Talk 570 AM, 910 AM, 102.1 FM in Tampa, Florida. Sitting in on behalf of our good friend Bill Bunkley, and great to have you with us. Coming up today on the show this hour, in a few minutes, I'll talk with John Hampshire. John is communications coordinator with the legendary Wycliffe Bible Translators. And he'll join us to talk about an African tribe that, amid war and genocide, is celebrating its very first Bible. And, of course, I'll ask him also to give us kind of a history lesson on this remarkable global ministry that I believe has been in effect for over 75 years. I think last year was their 75th year anniversary of translating God's Word. Remarkable ministry. And as a matter of fact, we'll learn also what their goal is to actually have a Bible translated into every language on the face of the earth, I think by 2025 is their goal right now. Later this hour, Dr. Mayor Matthews, our good friend, a resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation, explains why all those predictions we've been hearing about, well, the Social Security Trust Fund is going to go broke sooner than we anticipated. He says that prediction is way, way, way off the mark and not in a good way. We'll leave the rest of it for the other shoe to drop when Merrill joins with us next hour. In the next hour, deadly violence continuing to plague the African nation of Nigeria, horrible atrocities continuing over the last 48 hours or so at the hands of Boko Haram, even against other Muslims, but also the tribal Fulani herdsmen in their relentless war against Christians in that country. Nathan Weiniger of the 21st Century Wilberforce Initiative will be here a little later this hour to talk about that. And the violence continues against Christians, of course, as we know, all over the world, folks. And if you're a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus, it is both our responsibility and our privilege to stand with our brothers and sisters in a couple of ways. I call it heavenly advocacy, by which we pray for them before heaven's throne. We ask God to sustain them in their adversities, to protect them, to give them courage, and to give them whatever they need in their hours of a trial, remembering, as Hebrews says, that we are part of the same one body of Christ. It's not an us and them, it's us together. And then advocacy at the natural level, the horizontal level, the governmental level. Your letters and your comments and your requests and your pleas on behalf of the suffering church to our congressmen, our senators, our president, and so forth, those do make a difference. They do make a difference. And so we want to encourage that as well. We'll talk more about that. Also next hour, one of my most favorite writers and political analysts, man who has a gift with words, Dr. Victor Davis Hanson. He's going to join me to talk about his recent column discussing, well, in one case, a president who defied the Constitution but sounds so presidential versus one, as Dr. Hanson puts it, who is very law-abiding in his presidency, but he calls him, well, I'm not sure Victor thinks this about him, but certainly others would say a big amen. He calls him the loudmouth from Queens. You don't need even imagine who he's talking about. But he's also, the larger point of his column, which is in itself quite a title, Elites Who Value Mellifluous Illegality Over Crass Lawfulness. That's a study in contrast between President Obama and President Trump. But he's going to talk about what their acceptance or non-acceptance actually is saying about millions and millions of Americans who are on either side of those men and their styles of governance, if you will. Don't have time to get into it, but I do want to highlight a Daily Signal column, The Racism of Government Family Planning. And I'm hoping Julie can get Star Parker back on. We're working on it, aren't we? Yes. New proposed changes in regulations from the Department of Health and Human Services, writes Star Parker. Oh, tomorrow. Well, there you go. She, my producer, is always way ahead of me, and that's good. That's very good. Tomorrow at 4:15, we're going to talk about this in depth with Star Parker. And she speaks from a vantage point of experience and knowledge that's firsthand about the profound damage welfare and government programs in general are apt to do against and upon the very people they're trying or allegedly supposed to be helping. So she writes, new proposed changes in regulations from the Department of Health and Human Services will, in fact, close the door on using funds from its Title 10 Family Planning Program for Abortion. And this is something many of us have wanted to happen for a long time, but certainly was not happening under the Obama administration. HHS Office of Population Affairs, which administers this program, is a poster child for ill-conceived government policy. And she asks, how is it that in our nation that cherishes the ideals of human freedom and dignity that we're funding government bureaucrats to advise low-income citizens, almost a quarter of these quote-unquote clients are black, by the way, as she notes, about how many children they should bring into the world and when? And she goes on with that, but as I say, we're going to be getting into that in depth tomorrow at 4:15 here on the show. Stay with us. We have a busy afternoon straight ahead. Great to have you with us, as always.
At times, the mere thought of obtaining a mortgage can be more cringeworthy than nails on a chalkboard.
Hey, everyone. This is Brian.
And this is Mike from Fellowship Home Loans.
Sometimes the amount of information a lender asks for when applying for a mortgage can be quite daunting. They ask for everything but a DNA and blood sample, and maybe your firstborn. But at Fellowship Home Loans, that is not the case.
As a direct lender, we can make the lending process extremely simple. We have a common-sense approach to underwriting, a stress-free process, and we're here to help you every step of the way. Give us a call at 800-804-SAVE or online at fellowshiphomeloans.com. That's 800-804-7283 or fellowshiphomeloans.com. Mortgage lending guided by Christian principles.
Come and get your loan, Fellowship Home Loans.
Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender, NMLS number 60134.
Hi, Don Crow here for Passport Auto Group. A family-owned business with a stellar reputation for superior customer service before, during, and long after the sale. A mission and goal to which they've been committed for the past 25 years. And now, when you visit PassportAuto.com on the web, you can take your own virtual internet tour to enhance your buying experience and help you get to know their dealerships online. Just go to PassportAuto.com, browse their amazing inventory,
Schedule a test drive of that vehicle you've been thinking about. Investigate financing, lease options, and much more. Whether you're thinking about a BMW, Infiniti, Nissan, Toyota, Mazda, or Mini, or whether you're in the market for a certified pre-owned vehicle, Passport Auto Group is waiting to serve you right now. And I also want to tell you that as a longtime customer of Passport, I can assure you they do what they say they'll do, and they do it right. Passport Auto Group. Serving the Washington, D.C. metro area for 25 years. PassportAuto.com.
When most people hear the word leprosy, they wonder if it still even exists. But leprosy does exist. It's a disease that cripples and disfigures, sinking adults and children alike into lives of shame and isolation. The man with leprosy said to Jesus, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me." Jesus said, "I am willing." Are you willing? You can stop leprosy. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to help and heal children who are suffering. Because it costs only $90 to cure leprosy in 3 people, you can be the source of their healing. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Give now to help those suffering with leprosy. Call American Leprosy Missions right now. 800-979-1980. 800-979-1980. That's 800-979-1980. Or give online at StopLeprosyNow.com.
The hardest person in any family to buy a gift for is Dad. And Father's Day is almost here. Give the gift of a good night's sleep. MyPillow has now made it easier than ever to own one. Not only are they still offering a 10-year warranty, guaranteed not to go flat, made in the USA, washable and dryable, but here's one of their best offers. For a limited time, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-517-3636 and use the promo code WAVA to take advantage of the 4-pack special. You'll get 50% off 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Now you can take your MyPillow with you when you travel and even give one to a friend or loved one. Call 800-517-3636 and get the 4-pack special. That's 50% off 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Notice the difference a good night's sleep can make at home or now even when you travel. Call 800-517-3636 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WAVA.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is on Life-Changing Talk Radio, 105.1 FM, WAVA, weekday mornings at 9:30.
Have a plumbing, heating, or maybe in this weather, air conditioning or an electrical problem? Problem solved when you go to aactionhomeservices.com or call them at 703-922-1900. That's 703-922-1900. Without question, one of the most readily recognized names in global Christian ministry around the world is that of Wycliffe Bible Translators, a ministry celebrating its, 75th anniversary last year, still forging ahead with its goal of seeing a Bible translation project started in every language on the face of this good earth by 2025. Well, joining us to talk more about this remarkable work of God, its rich history, and much more, John Hampshire is Communications Director for Wycliffe. And John and his wife, Cindy, have worked in Bible translation themselves for more than 2 decades. They've worked in the African countries of Kenya and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, also serving in other posts as well, director of field programs during the years of 2009 to 2013, and then back with translations ever since. John, it's an honor to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Don. It's a privilege for me to be on your show today.
Last year, Wycliffe, as I just mentioned, celebrated, if I'm right, their 75th anniversary. Can you kind of give us an overview of those amazing 3/4 of a century of accomplishment? What's been happening through those years? And I'm sure there's plenty that still remains to be done.
Yeah, we started, as you said, about 75 years ago in Central and South America. And the work grew from there into other parts of the world, Asia, Africa, the Pacific Islands. And we are continuing to address the language needs in the world. There are about 1,600 languages that don't have any scripture, no translation work started. And our desire is to see God's word in all of those languages and seeing it in a form and a way where people can understand it with their hearts, their mother tongue.
And on that latter point, isn't it true that so many of these tribes that have a language have no written or symbolic language whatsoever, symbol language? It's strictly oral. Am I right?
That's right. There's many languages that still are not written down. So oftentimes one of the first activities that we face when we start work in an area is language development. So figuring out how that language is going to be written down, what letters they're going to use in their orthography. And of course, we don't do this just as Wycliffe members, but we work very closely with the local citizens in the countries where we work. They speak the languages better than we can learn to speak the languages. And so really, we're in the business of facilitating Bible translation work around the world.
Well, it's a powerful phrase. You used it a moment ago. And Wycliffe's goal is to really develop that aspect, heart language. When people hear that, what are we talking about? The average person may not know. What do you mean by heart language?
Well, in the Congo, where I work, the official language is French. And the trade language in the area where I work was Swahili. So some people can speak French, and many people can speak Swahili. But when they hear scriptures in their own language, their mother tongue, the language that they grew up speaking from the time they were just, you know, small children, they have a much better understanding. And we've heard many testimonials of people who said, I've heard that verse in English, or excuse me, in French, I've heard that verse in Swahili, but I never really understood what that verse said until I heard it in my own language, my mother tongue.
You and your wife have worked in this field for many years. What's your own story as to how you first got engaged in Bible translation? Was that something you decided early on or felt the Lord wanted you to do, or how did you move into that ministry?
Yeah, my wife and I met at Bible college, and we saw and heard Wycliffe speakers and were very interested in Bible translation work, and the Lord led us to work in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And so in the early 90s, we moved to a small village in the Congo and started working in a language project there. Last year, that language project finished the work. We only kind of got it helped to get it started, but they continued and translated the New Testament. And last year, they had a big dedication service for that New Testament. So they now have at least a portion of God's Word. They have the New Testament. And they also have Genesis in the language that speaks to their hearts.
Now, is this, and I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce it correctly, the Chembo language that you've been working on in the Congo?
That's right. Well, it's Chitembo.
Chitembo.
Chitembo is the way they say it. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I worked on that language in the early 90s, but we really haven't been part of that project for a lot of years other than praying for them and encouraging them, but they've been running with it. We gave them some initial training, and they got some additional training, and the Congolese Christians there who speak that language are the ones who completed that New Testament, the draft of the New Testament, and Wycliffe has come alongside and helped provide some training and some orientation, some funding, some computer support, some technical support. But really, it's the local Christians there who've done that work, and so they've moved that work forward over the past 20 years.
Now, it's got to be challenging on several fronts when you take a language and turn it into a written language for folks and into the scriptures themselves. What are some of the obstacles that have been faced in a project like this?
Every context is different, but in the Congo, we've faced a lot of insecurity and some inter-ethnic conflict and breakdown in infrastructure in the country for decades. And so it's a very challenging place to live and work. It's challenging for expatriates like us, but it's also challenging for our Congolese brothers and sisters because it's not an easy place to work with the insecurity in certain areas. They face issues of health of family members, poor health of family members, and difficulty providing for their families. And but that's just in our context. Every context is different, and every context has unique challenges.
Now, the Congo itself has been marked by its own trouble, civil war, and so forth. What else can you tell us about current conditions there in that regard?
There's some insecurity because of some political unrest. They're waiting to have a presidential election, and so there's some tension in that regard. Not sure when that's going to take place, but often in countries in East Africa and Central Africa, when there's an election, there's unrest. And so we just pray that God will protect our friends and colleagues who live and work there. And but that's the situation right now.
Now, you have a New Testament, as you've just said, has just been completed. What's next for this people group itself? And at what point do you feel like they may have an entire copy of God's Word, the entire Bible, in their hands?
They would love to have the entire Bible. They're not satisfied with just having the New Testament, and we wouldn't be either. So they'd love to have the entire Scripture, and they'd like to work on it. But in the meantime, the translators who worked on the Chitembo New Testament have been asked to assist four additional languages in their area to have a completed New Testament. And so those translators are assisting four other languages, and that's exciting to us to see this work multiplying in that way.
Now, it may be asking a question oversimplistically, but can you kind of walk us through what it's like to go into a country like that and begin from kind of scratch to develop a language? Any anecdotal things that come to mind through your many years of experience and hurdles you've had to overcome to get this oral language, let's say, down into a written form for this or any other tribe?
It takes a lot of sitting at a table and working with language helpers who speak that language fluently to try to figure out how the language works, to try to figure out, as I mentioned, what letters they're going to use in their alphabet, and then how they're going to use those letters to create words, and then how they put those words into phrases, and phrases into sentences, and sentences into paragraphs, and paragraphs into stories, because they oftentimes do it very differently than I would do it in English. And so once you get that work done, which could take some years, then you can move into translation, or you move into translation before that's done, and just start initial translation work. Bible translation is a challenge in itself, because you want to make sure that you are rendering the scripture in the mother tongue in a way that's clear, it's understandable, and it's accurate. You don't want to add anything. You want to take anything out of what the original writers were trying to say. And so it takes time to get that right and to get it accurate, to get it clear, and so that it flows smoothly as well and it's understandable to the readers.
And there couldn't be a work more critical, it seems to me, to the advancement of the gospel and the kingdom of Christ than the work that Wycliffe has been doing all these decades now. How can folks be a part of it, and how can our listeners intelligently pray on behalf of not just this project and the Congo, but in general the work of Wycliffe? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say there are certain ways to pray for the projects that do not yet have any scripture, and you could go on the Wycliffe website, wycliffe.org, and sign up for a language group and pray for a language group that is still waiting to have scripture in their language. You could also subscribe to a publication we put out called The Finish Line, which prays for scriptures that are approaching completion, because we find that at that point, the enemy really attacks. He doesn't want this work done. Mm. And so we need to pray these translations across the finish line. Mm. There are other volunteer opportunities with Wycliffe, both here in the home office in the U.S., but also abroad. And so you could look for those opportunities to serve as well. And then, of course, giving funds as well. Financing the work, helping to fund Bible translation work is something people can be involved in.
Excellent. John, thank you so much for the time and for your and your wife's tireless work over the years, along with everybody at Wycliffe. Give them all our blessing and our best.
Thank you, Don. Thanks for having me on. We appreciate your support.
John Hampshire, Communications Coordinator with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And if you want to check it out further, as I hope many of you will, you can go to wycliffe.org, W-Y-C-L-I-F-F-E. Many of you know that very familiar name, wycliffe.org.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Selling your home fast and for more money. That's exactly what Christy Moore of Local Expert Realty did for some happy clients in Arlington.
Don, we met this couple who had their house on the market for 272 days with another agent, and it didn't sell in one of the hottest areas of Arlington. They followed all of our advice and our plan to a T, and the home was ready to put on the market in 3 weeks. We sold it in 6 days for $6,000 more than the previous list price where it failed to sell. Many sellers think anyone can sell a house in this market, and the reality is that over 40% of homes that went on the market didn't sell last year. On average, over the last 12 years, 95% of our listings have sold, and we normally beat the market by over $26,000.
If you want to make sure your home sells and doesn't sit, call Christy Moore of Local Expert Realty, because she will sell your home in 58 days, or she'll buy it. Call 866-404-5858. 866-404-5858. Certain conditions or exceptions may apply.
Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey and Bob Lapine is heard weekdays at 7:30 a.m. on 105.1 FM WAVA.
WAVA's half-price Christian school tuition program has been one of the most rewarding campaigns we've ever presented on WAVA. This is WAVA GM Tom Moyer. The testimonies we've gotten back from many parents are off the charts amazing. You've told us how Christian schooling has helped change and encourage your child. WAVA is offering half off on tuition for your child's first year. No gimmicks, just half off tuition for a year. There are 13 schools to choose from in Maryland and Virginia. Read more at WAVA.com, keyword school. Call WAVA to learn more.
Hi, Don Crow here. Need an electrician, plumber, or furnace expert? Call the experts at aactionhomeservices.com, 703-922-1900. That's 703-922-1900.
105 WAVA.
This report is brought to you by Unbound.org. Eastbound on I-66, we've got delays from 123 over to past Nutley Street before the Beltway. Crash activity takes the right shoulder. On the inner loop, we'll see brake lights stretch from the toll road towards the 270 spur. And southbound on 395, tapping the brakes from Glebe Road down towards Edsel Road. 295, seeing brake lights in both directions, still volume approaching East Capitol Street. What is the education of your children worth? There are children across the world who lack the privilege of going to school. Change the story for one child at Unbound.org. I'm Danielle Deverell with traffic on WAVA.
Partly cloudy, very warm and humid tonight. A low of just 74 to 79. Hot and humid tomorrow. Mixture of clouds and sunshine. There'll be a shower or thunderstorm around during the afternoon. High 90. Partly cloudy and humid tomorrow night. Low 69 to 74. Wednesday, very but cloudy is warm and humid with a thunderstorm or two in the afternoon. High 88. Partly sunny Thursday. High 86. The Yankee weather forecast. I'm Bob Larson.
The Don Crow Show on WAVA, brought to you in part by Local Expert Realty. Realtor Christy Moore promises she will sell your home in 58 days or she'll buy it. You want to talk to her about it? 866-404-5858. That's 866-404-5858 or go to soldin58.com on the web. That's soldin and the numbers 58.com. Also delighted today to be able to share our program with the Bill Bunkley Show listeners on Faith Talk 570 AM, 910 AM, and 102.1 FM in Tampa, Florida. In a recent opinion piece at thehill.com, my guest this hour observed that the headlines following a newly released report from the Social Security trustees could lead you to believe that the Social Security Trust Fund is going broke faster than anticipated. But the reality of the situation, he says, is far worse, and in fact compares it to the notoriously legendary Ponzi scheme. Yeah, the Ponzi scheme, right? The convicted money swindler, Charles Ponzi. And he notes that there is at least, however, one big difference between the two, Social Security and a Ponzi scheme. He says Mr. Ponzi went to jail for his scam, but don't expect any members of Congress to be headed that way anytime soon. It's a serious matter, folks. Dr. Merrill Matthews, resident scholar at IPI, Institute for Policy Innovation, joining me to talk about it. Mara, always good to talk with you. And as always, you bring an insight that we need to hear. For a long time, we've been hearing such dire predictions about the trust fund going broke. But you say the new warning is it's much worse.
Thank you, Don, for having me. But let me clarify. We may see members of Congress going to jail, just not for Social Security.
Sadly, I'm afraid you're right. Yes. Indeed. But talk about, this. We've been hearing this for several years that, well, it's going to go broke sooner than expected. You say it's much worse than that.
Well, here's what happens. When workers pay into the Social Security Trust Fund, so every worker pays 6.2% of his or her income. The employer matches that. So that's 12.4% that goes into the Social Security to the Social Security Trust Fund. Out of that, Social Security pays current retirees benefits. In most years, that income exceeds what they have to pay out, so there's a surplus. When that at the end of the year with that surplus, Congress then goes in and borrows that money, writes an IOU, says it's going to pay an interest rate, and then takes that money and spends it on other things. And that money then is used to offset the current federal deficit. So if you hear the if you hear the current deficit this year is $500 billion, Congress may have borrowed $100 billion from Social Security, meaning that the real current deficit would have been $600 billion, except Congress borrowed that money and used it to pay for various government expenses, lowering the current deficit. But the Congress has borrowed all that money, has put an IOU in there, and so when the trust fund needs to draw on funds, as the trustees say it's going to have to this year, Congress has to draw on those funds. There's no money in the trust fund. It's IOUs. So in order to be able for Congress to draw on that money to pay current benefits, it has to redeem an IOU, which means the government has to go to current assets, borrow money or whatever, to pay back the IOU so that it can then pay Social Security benefits. So the debate that's been going on all along is there really a trust fund? I say there's not. It's filled with IOUs. There are Democrats and some other people who say, well, no, that money is actually there. The government's always stood behind its funds. So that's the debate.
And, of course, we're now at the point, as you've already said, as I understand it, that they're going to have to go borrow money to make up this difference. Where are they going to borrow it from?
Well, that's just it. If the government had assets, it could say, oh, we've got some money over here in an account, or we've got some stocks or something like that. We'll sell those and put that money in there. But it doesn't have any assets. It's running a deficit every year. So in order to be able to pay that back, the government either has to raise taxes or borrow the money in order to be able to pay it back. So it's like you said, I had $100 in one pocket. I needed it to pay for something, so I put an IOU in there, and now somebody needs that $100. Well, I can't just pull it out of that pocket. I've got to go find that $100 somewhere to pay it back, even though I have an IOU there. And that's ironically, that's something like what Ponzi did in his scheme in the 1920s. He created investments. People paid in. He used that money to pay other people back. And so he used the investments that were coming in to pay anybody else who wanted their money back. But he used a lot of that to spend on his own benefits and so forth. And so when, you know, your Ponzi scheme can work as long as the number of people keeps growing that pays in. And Social Security worked as long as you had more people paying in. But we have a shrinking population as more and more people are getting older and they're wanting that money because they're retiring. And we have fewer workers paying in on it.
We're going to take a break, come back with more. It's a very important issue, and I know many of you listening are affected by it, or certainly all will be at some point. We'll continue the conversation with Merrill Matthews in a moment. Stay with us.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, stocks finishing the day mostly lower. The Dow down just over 100 points. The S&P down around 5. The NASDAQ essentially unchanged on the day. Stocks worldwide seeing weakness amid some worries that there could be escalating trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Those tensions come after the president placed tariffs on certain Chinese goods last week due to what he called unfair trade practices. He said there'd be a 25% tariff on $50 billion worth of goods from China, which doesn't include goods commonly purchased by consumers like cell phones or televisions. Political uncertainty in Germany also weighing on investors' minds as Chancellor Angela Merkel's leadership is coming under pressure over migrant issues. In economic news today, the National Association of Home Builders said there was an unexpected drop in home builder confidence in June. The NAHB chairman says that builders are becoming increasingly concerned about tariffs placed on Canadian lumber and other imported products. In commodities today, crude oil futures rebounded. Meanwhile, gold futures were a bit higher as well. And that is Your Money Now.
Get to Lumber Liquidators Yellow Tag Clearance Sale and get the latest flooring styles for less. Look for the yellow tags at your local store and save up to 40%. Get $1 off per square foot or more on all Bellawood hardwood, like classic Brazilian cherry. Save 10% on all Morningstar and Supreme Bamboo. Get all laminate on sale up to 36% off, plus waterproof floors from 59 cents. Stack out deals and more at your local store, plus special financing. Look for the yellow tag clearance deals at your local Lumber Liquidators today.
Stocks are soaring, and construction spending across America has been on the rise. If you've been waiting to build, the time is now. Whether you want to expand your business or you want to build a new garage, call General Steel today. Our metal buildings are custom designed for your needs. For example, a 40 by 60 is a great space for an auto shop or a three-car garage. And if you call General Steel today, it's on sale now for under $25,000. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
Selling your home fast and for more money. That's exactly what Christy Moore of Local Expert Realty did for some happy clients in Arlington.
Don, we met this couple who had their house on the market for 272 days with another agent, and it didn't sell in one of the hottest areas of Arlington. They followed all of our advice and our plan to a T, and the home was ready to put on the market in 3 weeks. We sold it in 6 days for $6,000 more than the previous list price where it failed to sell. Many sellers think anyone can sell a house in this market, and the reality is that over 40% of homes that went on the market didn't sell last year. On average, over the last 12 years, 95% of our listings have sold, and we normally beat the market by over $26,000.
If you want to make sure your home sells and doesn't sit, call Christy Moore of Local Expert Realty, because she will sell your home in 58 days, or she'll buy it. Call 866-404-5858. 866-404-5858. Certain conditions or exceptions may apply.
Through Denver Seminary's innovative educational model, its students can earn their degree without uprooting their lives. Our program is essentially designed for full-time working adults in the DMV and features an accelerated and blended curriculum. courses are designed to leverage the best of both online and face-to-face learning, always with the needs of the adult learner at the forefront of course design. With unique scholarships available, take the next step today by contacting one of our counselors to learn just how affordable and accessible it is to get the best education for a lifetime of serving Jesus. Consider attending Denver Seminary's Washington, D.C. Extension Campus, which offers a variety of degrees and is hosted by the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden at its Ministry Center in Landover, Maryland. For more information or to schedule an individual preview session, please call the Denver Seminary Washington, D.C. Campus today at 240-532-7881, 240-532-7881, or log on to denverseminary.edu/DC.
Hi, Don Crow here. Need an electrician, plumber, or furnace expert? Call the experts at aactionhomeservices.com, 703-922-1900. That's 703-922-1900.
First Baptist Church of Highland Park with Henry Davis is heard Sunday mornings at 7 on WAVA.
Von Crow Show on WAVA. Social Security isn't gone broke, it's already broke. That's the argument made by my guest this hour, Merrill Matthews. Dr. Matthews is resident scholar with the Institute for Policy Innovation. You can find his work and that of his colleagues at their website, ipi.org. You've already mentioned, Merrill, that with little or no legitimate earnings, the schemes require a consistent flow of money from new investors to continue, of course, referencing the Ponzi scheme. And then you say that's pretty much how Social Security works. Of course, unlike Ponzi, Social Security doesn't have to solicit new investors. Federal law requires virtually all working Americans to be, if you will, an investor. But you've already pointed out the fact that the system is losing through baby boomers retiring and so forth. But there's another dynamic. It's a very sad one in my view. I remember some years ago, Dr. Richard Land making the point that just from an economic standpoint, we are paying a profound price for some 50 to 60 million unborn children who have been aborted, who even just, if you want to look at from the crass economic aspect, would have been payers into this Social Security system. And I think there's some legitimacy to that point.
Absolutely, yes. We've and that's part of the reason why we have a shrinking population. So in 1960, the Social Security Administration says there is 5.1 workers per beneficiary. By 2020, they expect that to be about half that, about 2.5 workers per beneficiary, and that number is declining because we don't have the population we used to. One of them is couples having fewer children, but abortion, of course, plays a role in that. And when they set up Social Security, they couldn't imagine a time that the population was actually declining. But it's not just that the population is declining. We have more and more people retiring. The general estimate right now is roughly 10,000 people every day retire. And they go from being people who are paying into the system to people who are receiving from the system. And that sort of exacerbates the problem.
You also say, and you've mentioned that a bit ago, the SEC says in Ponzi schemes, fraudsters take investors' contributions, quote, to use for personal expenses instead of engaging in any legitimate investment activity. And I like your point. You say, arguably, that is what Congress has been doing in spending the surplus. It's been taking this money and spending it on other things that it had no business doing.
That's right. If the government had taken the money and loaned it out to financial institutions, bought stock, neither one of those are necessarily good things when you're talking about that much money. But if the government had done that, then it would have assets to draw on to pay this back. There's roughly $2.9 trillion on the books in the Social Security Trust Fund. That's what the balance looks like right now. And so when they talk about this declining, they're having to pay out more, but they're going back and drawing from the trust fund. And they say that by, if nothing changes, by around 2034, so what is that, 16 years from now or so, the trust fund will be exhausted. But that $2.9 trillion, Don, there's no assets they're drawing from. The government, to pay that back, has to draw it from general revenues or borrow the money, because there is no pool of money set aside to be able to pay that back. So we've got to pay the $2.9 trillion as taxpayers now, those of us who are working, and then when you pay it back, then the trustees say that if they don't, if nothing else changes, by about 2034, they'll only be able to pay 75 cents on the dollar of the money that retirees are supposed to be getting.
And is it oversimplifying it to say that that trust fund is really basically nothing but a whole pocket full of IOUs?
Yes, that's all it is. They're called specials, and they're in a, I've seen a picture of it. It's a lockbox, and they have the IOUs in the lockbox, and they're called specials because they are not – most debt, you know, if you go and borrow money someplace or you owe money, you can sell that debt to somebody else, an investor somewhere who may give you less for it, but then – but you can't do that with the IOUs. They're not transferable. The government can't say, well, we've got $2.9 trillion worth of IOUs. If China will give us $2 trillion, we'll take it, but they can't do that. They have to fund it themselves.
Well, we'll take one more break and come back. A couple of other questions. And again, folks, this is not mere theoretic, if you will. This is very serious business that I know many of you already are deeply concerned about, either as current recipients, but more importantly, the younger set, our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids who you know, can expect perhaps little, if nothing, out of this unless things change. I want to talk with Merrill about what changes can, even now at this late date, be made, or is the Social Security Trust Fund actually, for all practical purposes, just defunct and broken, can't be fixed? We'll talk about it.
Hi, I'm Chuck, founder of A-Action Home Services. We're family-owned and operated since 1976. We specialize in plumbing, electrical, and heating. When I started A-Action, my goal was to build a business with lifelong customers. How did I do this? By respecting our customers' time and great customer service. So call us today, and you too can say, problem solved. 703-922-1900. AActionHomeServices.com.
Hi, Don Crow here for Passport Auto Group, a family-owned business with a stellar reputation for superior customer service before, during, and long after the sale, a mission and goal to which they've been committed for the past 25 years. And now, when you visit PassportAuto.com on the web, you can take your own virtual internet tour to enhance your buying experience and help you get to know their dealerships online. Just go to PassportAuto.com, browse their amazing inventory, schedule a test drive of that vehicle you've been thinking about. Investigate financing, lease options, and much more. Whether you're thinking about a BMW, Infiniti, Nissan, Toyota, Mazda, or Mini, or whether you're in the market for a certified pre-owned vehicle, Passport Auto Group is waiting to serve you right now. And I also want to tell you that as a longtime customer of Passport, I can assure you they do what they say they'll do, and they do it right. Passport Auto Group, serving the Washington, D.C. metro area for 25 years. PassportAuto.com.
There is a devastating disease crippling children, disfiguring them, leaving once beautiful faces marked with the unmistakable signs of leprosy, causing them to live a life of pain, shame, and isolation. But you can help American Leprosy Missions find, diagnose, and cure these children. You can stop leprosy. Right now, you have an incredible opportunity to help and heal children who are suffering. Because it costs only $90 to cure leprosy in 3 people, you can be the source of their healing. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." Give now to help those suffering with leprosy. Call American Leprosy Missions right now, 800-979-1980. 800-979-1980. That's 800-979-1980.
or give online at StopLeprosyNow.com.
Sell your home fast and for more money. That's exactly what Christy Moore of Local Expert Realty did for some happy clients in Arlington.
Don, we met this couple who had their house on the market for 272 days with another agent, and it didn't sell in one of the hottest areas of Arlington. They followed all of our advice and our plan to a T, and the home was ready to put on the market in 3 weeks. We sold it in 6 days for $6,000 more than the previous list price where it failed to sell. Many sellers think anyone can sell a house in this market, and the reality is that over 40% of homes that went on the market didn't sell last year. On average, over the last 12 years, 95% of our listings have sold, and we normally beat the market by over $26,000.
If you want to make sure your home sells and doesn't sit, call Christy Moore of Local Expert Realty, because she will sell your home in 58 days, or she'll buy it. Call 866-404-5858. 866-404-5858. Certain conditions or exceptions may apply.
This is Dr. Tony Evans, and I want to invite you to join me on a journey to a place rich with history and spiritual meaning. This November, come with me to the land of Israel. Walk through the streets where Jesus ministered. Take communion where he broke bread with his disciples. Pray where he gave his life and rose again. Our time in Israel this fall will be one of great blessing. I hope to see you there.
Go to WAVA.com and enter the keyword Israel, or call 703-807-2211.
A few more minutes with my guest, Dr. Merrill Matthews, resident scholar with the Institute for Policy Innovation, IPI.org on the web. And Merrill, in this last couple of minutes, of course, back in what, 1935, FDR signed this program into law. What was the original rationale for the need of it being created? And had it stayed on track, would it have been really effective?
Well, you certainly had people who were struggling through the Depression, and so the two ideas were, let's try to get some people who retire a certain amount of income, at least a basic amount of income, so they'll have something and they won't be devastated if when they retire. But secondly, you couldn't get the benefits until you retired completely, and there was a sense of trying to, let's push some of the people out of the workforce. Push is too strong a word, but let's get them out of the workforce because they'll have this to open up more jobs for more people. So it had two purposes there.
Now, I said it just before the break, is, as it stands now, the system, and it can't be repaired or turned around, or if it can be, what needs to be done to make that happen?
What we should have done it a while back, but at least we have the instruments to do that now, is to transition over to a personal accounts where individuals, instead of giving that 12.4% to the government, it goes into a personal account that is managed. They can't day trade with it. You have options like S&P 500, Russell 2000, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, large composite investment options that sort of track the economy as a whole, and then that money grows over time. And when you do that, the S&P 500 has averaged 9 to 10% a year. If you track it over 30 years, that would be that's roughly 9 to 10% a year for 30 years. That would be a huge investment for people, and you would have countless people ending wealthy, leaving, retiring with $1 million or more in their accounts because the money belonged to them. If you want to address the problem of savings in America, don't give the government the money to the government. Put it on your own personal account that's somewhat restricted, and that money belongs to you when you retire.
And final question, is, in fact, our current health savings accounts a sort of a very modest illustration of how this might work?
Absolutely. People have been allowing those accounts to grow tax-free over time, and so that's exactly what you do. But there's other countries that have done this. There's three counties in Texas that did this back in the 1983, and they've never lost a dime. So people there retire with about twice the money they'd be getting from Social Security.
And there again, the specter that I think of when I think of the health savings accounts and so forth is, even at that, we have rumblings from time to time in Washington of the politicians even wanting to reach in and steal those from us.
That's absolutely right. In fact, Bill Clinton, as president, wanted to reach in and try to steal that money.
Exactly.
and use it to invest in low-income things.
Well, it's always good to talk to you about these matters. Thank you for your scholarship and that of your colleagues there. And are you hopeful that something positive will be done during this administration to begin to ameliorate this problem with the Social Security?
I am not terribly hopeful, but let's at least put the problem out there.
Very well. You've helped us do that. Thank you, Merrill. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Dr. Merrill Matthews, as we've said, he's resident scholar at the Institute for Policy Innovation, and you can check their work out at their website, ipi.org. He's also a health policy expert, weekly contributor at Forbes.com, and as well past president for the Health Economics Roundtable for the National Association for Business Economics. Brings a lot of skill and knowledge to our conversations, and that's one of the reasons we like to have him on as often as we're able. That's it for this hour here on the Don Kroah Show. And again, we thank you folks listening to the Bill Bunkley Show on Faith Talk 570 AM, 910 AM, and 102.1 FM in Tampa, Florida, for spending this hour with us. We'll be back with another hour in just a moment or two.
Leading the Way with Michael Youssef. Weekday mornings at 11 on Life-Changing Talk Radio, WAVA. Listen to the Bible Study Hour with James Boyce. Sunday mornings at 8 on 105.1 FM, WAVA.
You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM in HD1, Arlington, and WSBZ, Washington. This is Life-Changing.